a little bit of a maybe hot take. It's never gonna be a 3-for-1.
What do you mean they're never?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to not just another episode of Lords of Limited. We've got the Secrets of Strixhaven crash course here for you today. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me live from my bachelor party in Indianapolis, every bachelor party's dream, we've got Mr. Ethan Rubble Rouser Sachs. This is your spirit animal. Do you know what this card is off the top of the dome yet?
I do. This is 2 in a red for a 1/4. When it enters, you can discard a card. If you do, draw a card, and you can tap to exile a card from your graveyard. If you do, you add red and deal damage to your opponent.
Yeah, nailed it. That is your spirit animal. There's going to be some red-white control. You're going to find it week 2, or maybe week 1. I don't know.
Yeah, I've got some scheming happening. I can already see myself getting to like week 5 stages in week 1, or maybe even an early access this week. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, if you're not watching on YouTube, you will probably notice that our audio quality is different because we are in this cavernous, lofty Airbnb. But also, this looks like a podcasting studio now.
It does look like a podcasting studio. We've got a nice indie sign in the background.
So, I don't know. Maybe this is what we'll be doing from now on.
Just meeting up, 5-hour drive, 6-hour drive, no big deal.
Shouldn't be too bad. I think it's worth it. It's for the crash course. I think definitely it's worth it. Much like you probably have always envisioned what your wedding day might be like, I'm sure you envisioned that your bachelor party would involve hours of sitting on your laptop grading cards.
Yeah, absolutely. Every man's dream right before he gets married. Just great grading Secrets of Strixhaven cards, memorizing them all, you know.
That's the dedication that we bring to the show.
Absolutely. No week goes unmissed.
No week goes missed, and the timing just works out that the cards get dropped on Friday, and so that means we got to grade them Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning.
Friday night, Saturday early morning in my case.
Yes,
Saturday morning for you.
So we're here. So we have graded all the cards. And if you are joining us for new set season for the first time, welcome. We don't do a card by card grading episode, but we have graded all the commons and uncommons in a spreadsheet, which you can peruse at your leisure. We'll have a link to that where you download the episode. But what we're going to do is more of a big picture slash like cards we want to highlight slash things we expect to be true about the format. So we'll give a little rundown reminder of what the mechanics are for the format. Then we'll go into each of us have been tasked to bring 5 format truths to the episode. Can we get a little mute your audio?
Muted.
And then we'll get into each of the colleges and the colors and what we expect to see from them. And then we'll be outlining our top uncommons from each of those colors, our top multicolor cards, our notable commons, sleeper commons. Basically, just here's all of our thoughts about the format before you go into it. And here are the cards that we expect to be the ones that matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do a little housekeeping, then we'll dive into the crash course. So patreon.com/lordsoflimited is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. We got some great perks over at the Patreon page. Access to our Discord is chief among them. Just a great community for like-minded limited individuals, and new set season is the perfect time to join, get in some practice drafts. People are already sharing their tier lists, which is incredible. Everyone's just trying to get their card evaluations on lock before we get our hands on the cards. And once we get the set to be live on Arena in a week, people are going to just bust it wide open. That's an awesome thing to see those channels popping off. We also have access to our podcast feed, where you get access to not only this episode a day early ad free, but also access to our weekly bonus episode of Lords Unlimited. So if any or all of that sounds of interest to you, we're also doing some more cool stuff. I'm going to be doing like a monthly gameplay review video from Discord submissions. I'm going to be trying to stream to Discord. I think this week will be my first Discord stream premiere, so that'll be fun. So just some other sweet perks happening over at the Patreon page. So if you want to check that out, head on over. And we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. So this week we are welcoming Pips, Cameron, Will, and Nomad. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, truly cannot say thank you enough.
Okay, quick mechanic reminder. Prepared, which is, you know, however you want to think about it, it's an adventure style mechanic where creatures have spells attached to them. They either come in prepared, they have ways to become prepared. And once a creature is prepared, a copy of its spell essentially lives in exile for you, and you can cast it as you wish. And then as you cast that spell, then the creature is unprepared again. So for example, we have Abigail, Poet Laureate. This is 1 white black for a 2/3. It's a legendary creature. It has flying. And whenever you cast a creature spell, it becomes prepared. And once it's prepared, you will have access to Heroic Stanza, which is one and Orzhov hybrid for a sorcery. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature.
Yeah, that card is a banger, as is the prepared mechanic.
Yeah, spoilers for Format Truths.
Ooh, very high on prepared.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Repartee, and the example card we have here is Snooping Page. So Repartee cares about when you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature. Snooping Page is a 1/WB 2/3 uncommon, and Repartee, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery that targets a creature, this creature can't be blocked this turn, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card and lose a life.
This is a tricky mechanic for me to wrap my head around. This would be sort of wrapped in one of my format truths, because there's a lot of ways to target creatures
that are not necessarily instants and sorceries.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a mechanic where I'm like, oh, you have to work for it. And then I think the first time you draft a Silverquill deck, you'll be like, oh, I didn't work for it. And I have half a dozen ways to target creatures, you know? Next up, we have Increment, which is the Quandrix, the blue-green mechanic. This is sort of like, what was that mechanic? Evolve.
Yep.
From Gatecrash. Where Evolve grew creatures based on the power and toughness being greater. Increment grows creatures based on the mana value of the spell you cast being greater than either the power or the toughness of that creature. And if it does meet that requirement, then that creature is going to get a +1/+1 counter. So, for example, we have Cuboid Colony. This is green, blue for a 1/1, flash, flying, trample, and increment. So a 2-mana 1/1 flash flyer that's going to grow as the game progresses.
Next, we've got the Lorehold, which is red-white mechanic, and it's an oldie but a goodie, Flashback. So the example card here we have is Molten Note, red-white X. Molten Note deals damage to target creature equal to the amount of mana spent to cast the spell. Untap all creatures you control, and then it's got Flashback, 6 red-white, which means you can cast it again if you're willing to pay that mana cost. So there'll be different things attached to Flashback cost, but basically you can use the spell twice, once up front, and then once you can cast it again out of your graveyard, and then exile it after you cast it out of your graveyard.
Infusion is the Witherbloom mechanic. That's the black-green color pair. And Witherbloom cares about life gain, and Infusion is that wrapped up in a neat little package. So example is Old Growth Educator. It's 2 black-green for a 4/4 with Vigilance and Reach. And it has Infusion. When this creature enters, you put 2 +1/+1 counters on it if you gained life this turn. And if you listened last week, we got some judge calls that it does, in fact, work with the Bogwater Lumerit or whatever.
Because there isn't an intervening if.
There it is, my favorite phrase in all of Magic, intervening if.
There's been lots of intervening if talk at the Bachelor Party this weekend. We've been out of control.
Not to make everyone have FOMO, but a lot of intervening if talk, yeah.
Next up, we've got Opus, which is the Prismari mechanic. This is the blue-red mechanic. And Opus cares about you casting instant or sorcery spells again, but any instants and sorceries here. Specifically, there's double triggers. One, two effects. One, if you just cast an instant or sorcery, and then the second effect, if it is mana value 5 or greater, you get a bigger Opus effect. So we've got Spectacular Sky Whale here. 2 blue-red for an uncommon. It's 1/4 flying elemental whale. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, this creature gets +3/+0 until end of turn. And if 5 or more mana was spent to cast that spell, put 3 +1/+1 counters on this creature instead.
Yeah. I really got to shout out how much I like Flashback being at the intersection of Opus. It sort of cheats the thing that worked so well in Final Fantasy with like Sahagin and the mana value 4 or greater stuff was like, well, you have the ability to turn your 1-mana or 2-mana spells into 4-mana value spells if you want. Flashback is like, hey, you've got a 2-mana play. And then down the line, if you want, you've got a 5-mana play that'll trigger your Opus. And then Flashback will also trigger the leave the graveyard stuff that Lorehold likes. Flashback should come back more. That's my take.
Flashback's a great mechanic.
I feel caught up and I'm ready to hear some hot takes. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Financial stress affects far more than our bank accounts. It can take a serious toll on mental health and relationships, with 88% of Americans feeling some form of financial stress at the start of 2026.
Money worries often bring anxiety, sleep disruption, and even depression, and are one of the leading sources of conflict for couples. This month, we want to normalize the emotional weight of financial stress and remind people that struggling with money doesn't mean failure. Sometimes it's just about accessing the right kind of support.
We are entering phase 2 of I don't know how many phases of financial stress. We're listing our house this week, so fingers crossed, be out of the muck very soon. But there's a very big unknown. You know, what is the housing market going to be like? Are people going to like our house? Are people even shopping around? Are interest rates too high? All of that is stressors for people. And as a result, we are left feeling stressed. And I definitely feel like therapy has helped me to be able to get some perspective and not spiral and be pretty of sound mind in this financially precarious time.
With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored rates.
When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/lords.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lords. And now, back to the show. Format truths.
Would you like to go first? It's your weekend, so you get to decide if you want to go first or not.
I'll go first. Okay. I'm coming out with a heavy hitter.
Okay.
Format truth number one, the definitive 100% correct college power ranking.
This is my guy. This is what we come here for. Okay.
Number one. From last to first, Wither Bloom on top.
Wow, wow, wee, wow. Okay.
Been impressed with all of Wither Bloom's cards. I've been very impressed with black as a color. Green's common's a little less so, but it's got some
green's
banger uncommons.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
So okay. Wither Bloom taking the top slot, following black, which I'm calling right now as the best color early, pre-playing with the cards.
Great.
I think Silver Quill in second. Stayed near the top, got unseated a bit by Wither Bloom. And then in third, Prismari, fourth, Lorehold, and bringing up the rear, single spelling for all time, Quandrix.
Yeah, Quandrix will be interesting. I'll be curious to talk about that when we get to like talking about the colors and color pairs broadly after the format truths. It remains to be seen. I feel like this could be a classic Lords of Limited underrating green scenario, though I'm not actually underrating green. While I do think its commons leave a little bit to be desired, the uncommons are incredible. Like just looking down my grades, it was like B-, B-, B. Like a lot of the uncommons are just great. Quandrix's suite of cards, and there are a lot of gold cards if you haven't looked at the card file. There's 7 gold cards per, or maybe even more.
Is there's it 10,
it's
right?
10, right?
7
3
uncommons,
commons,
3 commons.
That's
yeah.
right. 3 commons, 7 uncommons. And I just don't find... I feel like Quandrix is clearly based on those cards in last place for me.
Yes. It just is asking you, I think, as a college to get stuff on the board, then continue curving out a mana value higher every turn without things happening to the stuff that you put on the board. Like, it seems very disruptible by your opponents, but also just by missing a land drop or two here or there.
Sure. Yeah, that's very true. I mean... Like missing a land drop is bad for everybody.
Bad for everybody, but especially bad for Quandrix.
Sure.
You don't want to make it worse than it already is.
That's fair. Okay.
Number two, prepared is an amazing mechanic. Like, full stop. I am in love with this mechanic. I think it's clean. It's really easy to understand. And I was reading something on Twitter last night about the set vision design. Mm. So the set is the same as Dustmourne. And they were like talking about doing Lesson to Learn, and they felt like they didn't need to because they found Prepared and they thought it was such an awesome mechanic. So clean, easy to understand. I think there's a lot of tension inherently in the mechanic too, with there's greed about like playing your creature and wanting to get full value and keeping it out of combat. And are you supposed to do that as the opponent when somebody plays a prepared creature? There's like this fear tension of, do I snap off my removal spell to kind of get a 2-for-1 on it? Do I need to save it for their rares? I just think there's a lot of interesting stuff built into there with the creature count, the spell count. I think it plays super well with the mechanics they designed for the colleges. Very high on prepared.
Yes, prepared is also a subject of one of my truths.
Number three, there are a lot of secret gold cards running around, but the power is in the actual gold cards. Gold cards are juiced. The uncommons, the commons, I think... The gold cards are where it's at, and it looks like a heavily, you want to be one of the 5 colleges, which is not earth-shattering news,
no.
But I think those are, and rightfully so, because they're harder to cast, the gold cards are, I think, pretty significantly ahead of most of the single-colored cards. And when I was going through for the commons that matter, it was hard to find single-colored cards that mattered. It was usually 1 or 2, and they were usually pretty obvious per color.
This may be something we'll percolate on throughout the episode and come back to at the end, but I'm curious your thoughts about your approach to drafting in terms of, are you going to be happy to take a Prismari uncommon, then take a Witherbloom uncommon, or are you going to be like, I'd like to, you know, are we going to take the Lords of Limited Lorwyn Eclipsed approach and be like, I'm just going to get deep into something, I'm going to take powerful cards, but I'm not necessarily going to take archetype committing cards early. I would like a lane to present itself.
I think it's going to be hard to not take archetype committing cards because there's so much bleed also in the format, which is, I think, kind of not necessarily specifically one of my truths, but I would expect that you're going to be playing two in a splash a fair amount of the time, unless you're in a completely untested college. And there's a lot of bleed there. So I think going after the good cards is what I initially plan to do anyway. I expect to take aggressively the gold cards and then hope that a lane is going to present itself.
Okay.
Which I think directly takes me on to number four. You'll be rewarded for reading signals and changing lanes appropriately because of the density and power level of the gold cards.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine, and I guess it's not really that hard to imagine, but like there are 8 seats at a table. There are 5 supported colleges. That means 2 players, theoretically, will have a college all to themselves.
Yeah, and your deck's going to be half gold cards?
It's going to be insane.
It's half or more gold cards?
Unless you're Quandrix.
Unless you're Quandrix.
I don't remember. I didn't go back and check, like, for original Strixhaven, what was the density of cards that color pairs had access to. But this is just straight up 10. 3 at common, 7 at uncommon. And if you're just getting to go, like, okay, Bogwater, Lumeret, like,
maybe more take cards and then wheel the
gold
cards.
Yeah.
If you can leave yourself flexibility between 2 colleges and stay a color for a second and try to feel which one's open without sacrificing too much power, certainly you should. Number 5, don't be afraid to splash aggressively if you can get the game to go long. Converge and the power of the gold cards are very tempting.
I have a truth that is the opposite of that. Oh. So we've got our bases covered.
Great. One of us is going to be right.
Yeah. I remember splashing a lot in Strixhaven, or I see that there's a lot of fixing, or I see there's a lot of powerful stuff worth going after, or I think games are going to be slower. Like, what is informing this for you?
I think there are some busted Converge cards. I think that green card, the 5 and a green that makes XXs and you gain X life equal to the amount of mana spent to cast that spell, that card is certainly an incentive. And I think it won't be hard to be base 2 colors. Plus, like, you mentioned the bleed. Like, let's say you're going to be some teamer stuff.
Okay.
Heaven forbid. And you've got that green Converge card. I don't think it's going to be hard to be, let's say, base blue green. You're splashing that as a Converge card. Maybe you're splashing a couple other good Quandrix cards. And then to have an off cut, like a half on color surveil land or 2 to get your Converge up to 4. And then all of a sudden, like, that thing is making 2/4/4s, gaining you 4 life. If you want or can get the game to go long, that's where the power is at. There's a lot of powerful top-end gold cards. I don't think you're going to necessarily have to if you're in an open college, but I think if you can't find an open college, that's going to be a way to get power.
Yes, I agree with that, I think. Okay, my 5. Well, I guess I have 5 and an honorable mention. Number 1, prepared creatures will define Secrets of Strixhaven. And I think it's just a very clean mechanic. It reminds me of Adventure, which was just awesome for Limited. One of the best Limited mechanics of all time, I think, just because it stocks your deck with spells. And that's a nice place to be. It's nice when you don't run out of stuff to do in Limited. And I think that just makes for really interesting gameplay. I also think that means that in a world of prepared creatures, standalone spells get worse. And I don't mean removal spells, because I have a point about that just coming up. But I do mean the tricks of the world, the one mana tricks. There's a lot of them, actually. Like, black has one, white has one, blue has the, like, +0/+3 and hexproof one. I don't think those cards are going to matter, because I think you're just going to have so much going on in the prepared space that those standalone spells are going to really need to pull their weight. So I think you want to be choosy about them, and perhaps you'll be choosy in terms of their effects. Perhaps you'll be choosy about them in terms of how they synergize with your deck. But I think that's all going to be under the umbrella of prepared. I think that's what we're going to remember when we look back on this format.
Yes.
Number 2, removal that gets creatures off the battlefield is premium. I don't think, and this is, again, wrapped up in the prepared of it all, but the fact that, you know, prepared creatures, some of them can become re-prepared, like Abigail that we read, can become re-prepared over time. And if you are letting something like that stick on the battlefield, turn after turn, accruing that value, you're just going to fall behind, I think. And so I think, bounce and enchantment removal. Sad to say, my procrastinate stunning spell, I'm not into this week. Those sort of things I don't think are going to cut it, but the kill spells, the exile spells, I think are going to be premium.
Yes, you're going to need to be able to interact.
Number three, the secret sixth college.
Rubbing his hands together for the takes.
Is Rakdos. I see this like burn control deck that Rakdos can be. And I think to the splashing point, white is a really nice intersection. There's a lot of really nice either Silver Quill or Lorehold cards that I think Rakdos will be interested in splashing. But things like, you know, you mentioned the Rubble Rouser, I think is going to be good for this. There's a card called Leech Collector. It's one and a black for a 2/2. Whenever you gain life, this becomes prepared, and it has Bloodletting as its prepared spell. It's single black sorcery. Each opponent loses 2 life. There's the 3-mana 2/2 Death Toucher in black. Whenever a thing with power or toughness 1 dies, you drain 2. And black has a common Gravedigger, and red has a common spell Gravedigger.
Yes.
That's 6 mana. And so I just think this is a real, I don't think, this is like part copium that I love Rakdos and I would like to be able to play Rakdos in this format, but I see this deck pretty clearly.
Yeah, and Mardu as well. So base black red splashing the Lorehold gold cards.
Yeah.
I guess you get the Silver Quill.
That's what I'm saying. I think there are some from each college that you're going to like specifically in Rakdos. Number four, Sideways Build-Arounds are back. I think this points to there being versions of the college decks that are just going to be Cabs decks, that are just going to be cards that affect the board, curve out, beat down, whatever, never run out of gas because of prepared. And then I think there are versions that are going to be on some sort of sliding synergy scale, whether it's I have this payoff and 3 cards that support it, or like I am all in on the leave the graveyard Lorehold thing. I think there's going to be a sort of spectrum there. I wrote down a handful of cards that piqued my interest here. I mean, Ancestral Anger isn't quite a sideways build around, but it is a collect them all in the spirit of a build around. And this is a reprint. This is a single red creature gets +X/+0 and trample until end of turn, where X is 1 plus the number of Ancestral Angers in your graveyard and you draw a card. So, you know, if you collect all those, you can have 4 of them, 5 of them at the table, and, you know, you're chaining them together. And I don't know what creatures are going to pair best with that yet, but that's been a mainstay collect them all in limited formats past. We talked about Graduation Day last week as the single white repartee payoff. There are some cool, like, I have eyes for Micah, Reader of Ruins. This is the 3 and a red, 4/4 ward, pay 3 life. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you may sack an artifact. If you do, copy that spell, and you may choose new targets for the copy. Like this, plus there's a 2-mana 2/2 that has a prepared spell, make a treasure. And be like, well, I get a Micah and scoop up a couple of those on the wheel, and I have this little package of something pretty darn powerful to do if you get to pop off with it. So I have eyes for there being different flavors of the colleges, which I think, knock on wood, though I won't because of sound quality, I think that that points to there being more than just your usual, like, and it's just five decks you can draft, you know?
I see all that stuff too. I'm worried about the power level of the base gold cards just pushing some of that stuff out.
I think to your point about splashing, I'm not saying that this is a plan A, but I think it's gonna, in terms of getting all of the buffalo, all of the
squeezing all the juice out of it.
Squeezing all the juice, getting maximum value from your drafts, draft in and draft out, you're gonna need that as a tool. Number five, much like creature counts were artificially inflated in Strixhaven because of Learn Lesson, like every spell you had that could go find a spell meant you had like twice as many. And also a lot of those were creatures. They were spells that made tokens. Spell count is going to be artificially inflated here because both prepared being a spell tacked onto creatures and flashback being ways to get 2 spells cast from 1 card make the number of spells and the variety of spells you have access to larger than it may seem at first glance. And my honorable mention.
Oh, an honorable mention take.
Despite there being fixing, and even a mechanic trying to get you to play different colors of mana in Converge, the most successful decks will be streamlined 2-color decks. And this is not revelatory, this is not even Secrets of Strixhaven specific, but I do think it's worth saying, just because I think there is an impulse. I'm seeing an impulse in discussions in our Discord.
Me?
I'm seeing an impulse in my co-host here. You want there to be more to do than just the 5 decks.
Yeah.
You want those in your tool belt, but remember that you should be trying to be in a streamlined two-color deck. And the best decks will be streamlined two-color decks.
Yes, I'm co-signing that as well. I would agree with the statement that the best, but if you get in one of those contested lanes...
Yeah, you're going to want to know how to maneuver there, but I think you should be trying pretty hard to not find yourself there.
Yes.
We usually do colors now. We'll like talk about a single color and then talk about its top uncommons and its notable commons. I have the five colleges, and then for each college, I think there's a primary color for it, and that's where I might have some thoughts about that color.
Yes.
Where do you want to start? What do you want to kick things off with?
As far as talking about the colleges? Let's kick it off with what I think is the best. Let's kick it off with Witherbloom.
Okay. Witherbloom, what do you think is going on there in terms of primary, secondary, and any notes you see?
I think primarily black. Yes. I think black's the primary color. I think green's the secondary color. And it seems to me, I mean, obviously we haven't played with the cards yet, but just with the power level of the cards and what the gold cards are kind of asking you to do, it reminds me of elves a bit in, whatchamacallit?
Lorwyn Eclipse.
Lorwyn Eclipse, thank you. In that the cards look like it's going to get to play a good early game, but also get to play a very good late game if the game goes long, and that's a great place to be for any archetype.
Yeah. For Witherbloom, I said primary black, secondary green as well. I think black looks like it wants to grind off the back of life gain, pests, number of cards that do chip damage, and some pretty strong two-for-ones. Black, I think, has Witherbloom written all over it, and I feel like we'll play more of a support role for Silver Quill, is my stance.
Yes.
Shall we start with our top black uncommons then?
Let's do it.
Great. For me, in the number one spot, I have Eternal Student. This is 3 and a black for a 4/2, and you can pay 1 and a black to exile it from your graveyard to create 2 1/1 white and black Inkling creature tokens with flying. I think that card is awesome. In the number two spot, I have Foolish Fate. This is 2 and a black for an instant. Destroy target creature, and it has Infusion. If you gained life this turn, that creature's controller loses 3 life. I think that's basically just flavor text there. I mean, like, happy to do it, but not something you need to work towards. Doesn't mean it's necessarily just a Witherbloom card. And there's a little bit of a maybe hot take, but I have Arnon, Deathbloom Botanist in the number three spot. It's 2 and a black for a 2/2 death touch. Whenever a creature you control with power or toughness 1 or less dies, target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life.
Okay. That didn't make my list.
Yeah, that's more of a, like, this card could just be clunky, but like, I was thinking sort of about how impactful Tetsuko was from its original set. That's the 1 and a blue 1/3, and creatures you control with power or toughness 1 or less can't be blocked. And I'm sort of envisioning it like that, because does your opponent really want to trade off now? Do they want to block your pests? They want to trade off with your 3/1 and then they drain 2. Like, it feels like you kind of have to deal with Arnon first before you deal with anything else. And I think that makes for a good card.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a couple different black uncommons than you in the number one slot. I'm surprised this didn't make your list. End of the Hunt. 1 and a black for a sorcery. Target opponent exiles a creature or planeswalker they control with the greatest mana value among creatures and planeswalkers they control.
Yeah. I don't know how to evaluate this card.
Why?
Well, because it's not a... Something I'm worried about with this card is that it doesn't get your man, like, necessarily.
Necessarily.
There's tokens you're going to care about sometimes. There's going to be, when things have equal mana value, they just get to pick. I don't know. I'm a little like... Maybe it'll become abundantly clear once we see it that it'll be like, no, this is just great. You're always getting a good rate for it. And it's like a 2-mana thing that nabs a 5-drop every time. If that's the case, awesome. But a lot of stuff feels like it's smaller and like, I don't know. Is the big thing have an ETB and it's already done the thing and now you don't care about it? That's why I didn't make my list. But it's probably an oversight.
You're almost always either equal or up.
Yes.
On mana.
That is true.
Afterwards. And I've got a different number three slot. I have your Eternal Student as my number two. And in the number three slot, I've got Poisoner's Apprentice. This is 2 and a black for an uncommon. It's a 2/2 with Infusion. Whenever it enters, target creature an opponent controls gets -4/-4 until end of turn if you gained life this turn.
Yeah.
You think, what, this is the morbid problem?
Yeah, I do. Well,
but the pests give it to you on attack. This says if you have a pest, you can turn a pest into -4/-4.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is always my issue, is that I'm always like, what's the floor of the card? And the floor of the card is garbage.
But if Witherbloom's the best college,
yes,
and you're in Witherbloom,
yes,
you should be able to turn this on.
Well, and one
if
of the
this
things
is bad, Witherbloom's not in great shape.
Yeah, I guess. I don't, but what's also great about this card is that like it's cheap enough that like on turn six, if you have to like do a thing that spend mana on something that gains you life and then play this, you're still like getting a really good deal.
Yes.
So I agree. This just speaks to Black's got some great cards.
Black's got some banger cards.
Three black cards made my notable commons list.
Same for me.
I have Cheerful Osteomancer.
Oh, that's in my sleepers. That's the Gravedigger.
It's Gravedigger. Three and a black for a 4/2. It enters prepared, and its prepared spell is Raise Dead. Single black, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. So not Gravedigger in that you can't get it. You can't trade it off on four to get full value. But I'm basically just thinking of this as three black, black, 4/2, Gravedigger. And I'm happy with that as a card.
I agree. That's a good card. I do think this card specifically has a lot of that tension from the prepared mechanic wrapped up in it, though, right? Because you play it on four, and then you're not blocking with your four drop. If you're behind at all, the prepared cards are in a very good space of, if you're ahead, they're probably great. But if you're behind, like, there's some real tension there.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope that I have the wherewithal to not get max value and trade off my four drop when appropriate. I put Wander Off on the list as well. It's three and a black, instant exile target creature, clean way to interact with something and get it gone for good. I think that's going to be a real player. And I know this card didn't make your list, but I have eyes for Sneering Shade Rider. This is the four and a black 3/3 flyer. When it enters, each opponent loses two life and you gain two life.
Yeah, that card did not make my list. I think that's pretty washed.
You think Grasping Thrall is washed? I do not think Grasping Thrall is washed.
Hey, maybe not. I mean, that type of card is historically a data darling.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, yeah, the black gain and drain creature period is always a data darling. And I think tacked onto a 3/3 flyer is, I don't know if you know, but flying is good.
Flying is good.
Could have been one of my format truths, is flying will be good in Secrets of Strixhaven.
I think it's five mana, though. That's what worries me about it. And there are so many better five drops that are gold. That's what concerns me about it.
Yeah, I hear your concern. I hear your concern. But I won't have that concern in my Rakdos deck. I don't have a lot of gold
there
cards.
There you go.
So that'll be fine in my five drop slot.
I have two different black.
Whoa!
Black's so juiced. I put Last Gasp in here, which is okay. One and a black instant target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn. And then I'm shocked that this card didn't make your list.
Oh, yeah.
Send in the Pest. One and a black sorcery. Each opponent discards a card. You create a 1/1 black and green pest creature token. It's like the rats, but better. Synergy rats. It's
synergy rats. Well, I mean, Virus Beetle is a synergy.
So that has Virus Beetle written all over it. And it's also a sorcery, so it's going to trigger your Opus stuff in your Rakdos deck.
Like, there we go. You got there. I was like what is it triggering? Not much. Yes. Send in the Pest made my sleeper commons list, but perhaps should just be on the notable commons list as well. Silver Quill, I said, was primary white, secondary black.
Yes.
And I think my assessment of white is, it's tough. I'm going to come out on the side of, I think white toes the line nicely between a lot of things. And the other way to view that is white is a bit schizophrenic and not knowing where it wants to be. So I'm going to choose the positive light of that and say that I think it's doing a nice job of towing the line between the two colleges, between Lorehold and Silver Quill, and toes the line nicely between assertive and reactive game plan. So I think it's going to be versatile. I don't know how to evaluate the repartee Silver Quill of it all. I think it's just going to happen, but it looks like a mechanic you have to work for. It looks like an A+B mechanic that you have to make sure you're checking those boxes correctly in the draft. And that looks like an A+B mechanic that you have to draw those cards in the right order in the games. I think it's going to be less finicky than that.
Yes. I think if you get the Silver Quill cards, they just do the thing.
Correct.
They help you do the thing quite a bit.
Yes.
I also have the same note on white, that it seems split equally between Silver Quill and Lorehold, but doesn't have a lot of cards that go in both.
Yeah.
Like, that you're going to have to, like, there's not going to be a lot of opportunity for you to be white and, like, toe the line and then go. Like, if you're taking a white card, it's probably going to go in Silver Quill. Or it's going to go in lower. A lot of secret gold cards there.
Yeah.
Silver Quill as a college, to me, looks like the most aggressive deck available in the format. And I think it takes advantage of White's best cards. I think White's best cards go in Silver Quill and want to beat down.
I agree with both of those takes. What are your top White uncommons?
Not a Silver Quill card. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Number one, Primary Research. 4 and a white for an enchantment. When this enchantment enters, return target non-land permanent with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. At the beginning of your end step, if a card left your graveyard this turn, draw a card.
I'm not joining you in the hype for this card, but I like that you're hyped for this card.
Yeah, this card looks so good to me. We'll find out.
We'll find out. We'll find out for sure. It was on my short list of sideways build arounds in my show notes. So I think the card has power. Top White uncommon seems like a stretch to me, but here we are.
That's my number one. In the number two slot, I've got Quillblade Laureate. This is 1 and a white for an uncommon. It's a 1/1 double striker that enters prepared. And then its sorcery ability, the prepared ability, is twofold intent, 1 and a white for a sorcery. Target creature gets +1/+0 and gains double strike until end of turn. I think this is going to wear all of the sorcery and instant targeting stuff very well, while also enabling your other things.
That's a good shout. I like that card a lot.
So that's the number two. And then in the number three slot, I've got Spirit Call Enthusiast. This is 2 and a white for a 3/3 uncommon cat cleric. Whenever one or more tokens you control enter, this creature comes prepared. And its prepare ability is Scroll Boost, 1 and a white sorcery. 1 or 2 target creatures each get +2/+2 until end of turn.
I guess. What tokens is White making?
You're making, there's going to be pests from Black. My sorcery is going to come into play here. It's going to make a token. It's okay. Going to prepare this up. And I think just the prepare cards here that are going to let you, like you said, do the thing in Silver Quill. This card, assuming you make some tokens, just lets you do the thing. Gives you a free way to target 2 things.
That's true.
It's a pretty big game, I think.
Yeah. We have no overlap. Or White uncommons. No. But I don't think that speaks to White's power.
It speaks to its schizophrenicness.
Yeah, I think it speaks to its different nature. I put Group Project, speaking of White's tokens, I put Group Project number one. It's a single white, or this is 1 and a white for a sorcery, create a 2/2 red and white spirit creature token. And its flashback cost is tap 3 untapped creatures you control. I think this card is just efficient with a capital E and synergistic in terms of, and just you're getting 2/2s for 2 mana.
You're getting tokens for my spirit.
That's
call
what
enthusiast.
That's what I said. Yeah. Speaking of white making tokens. And in the number 2 spot, I have Summoned Dromedary. This is 3 and a white for a 4/3 with vigilance. And you can pay 1 and a white to return this card from your graveyard to your hand, activate only as a sorcery. Resilient.
Here's why I left that off my list. Because yeah. I like that card a lot too. I don't think you're going to run out of stuff to do in this format.
Because you have a Dromedary.
No. I think you will have better options than returning a vanilla 4/3 to your hand later in the game.
Yeah, that could be true. I don't want to have to choose. I want prepared options and camel options. And then my number 3 spot, I have Stand Up For Yourself, 2 and a white for an instant. Destroy target creature with power 3 or greater. Though, I have an asterisk here of like, a lot of the prepared creatures are small, and I kind of want to kill them before you get to cast the prepared spell. And Stand Up For Yourself doesn't do that, so it's on notice a little bit for me.
That's an unusual card for you to pick for a top white uncommon.
A 3 is a lot different than 4. Yeah. I feel like you'll get a good bang for your mana buck there. White commons, what made your list?
Oh, what a card. Top of the heap, probably the best common in the format. Elite Interceptor, white for a 1/2, enters prepared, and its prepare ability is Rejoinder. 1 and a white sorcery, you may tap or untap target creature, draw a card. That is an absolute house.
Yeah. People are obviously comparing this to Novice Inspector, Thraben Inspector. It's different.
It's different.
It's worse.
But not that much worse, and if you're taking advantage of the synergy, and Silver Quill could be better, there is upside there as well.
There's definite upside. And I think there's a lot of scuttle of like, well, but you, it's not like Elite Interceptor isn't like Thraben Inspector in the sense of, you know, you could chump or trade off Thraben Inspector even, and then crack the clue later on. You can't do that with the Interceptor. But I don't think this is trading off all that often in the first few turns of the game. So I think you can reliably get the full value, air quotes, from this if you want.
Right. And it curves into itself. It's yes. a great top deck late in the game.
Yeah.
This card does so much.
Uh-huh.
And then I've also got Eager Glyph Mage on the list. This is 3 and a white for a 3/3. When it enters, create a 1/1 black and white inkling creature token with flying.
Like, this also could be the best common in the set. This is a lot of value. And we have seen time and time again the 4-mana creature that is a 3-power something along with a token does very well, and I expect this to be no slouch.
Well, and this is a very good token it's bringing along with it as well.
Yeah. 1/1 flyer is very nice. Did you have anything else?
That's it.
That you wanted to say to the class? Because Ajani's response will not go unnoticed here. This is 4 and a white for an instant. Spell costs 3 less to cast. If it targets a tapped creature, destroy target creature. It's Ride Down. Ride Down is back.
Ride Down exiled.
You can't be like, that's why it was good.
There's a common Gravedigger in this format.
Ajani's response is going to be good.
It'll be good. Yes.
Yeah. Ajani's response is very good. It's like the reason it's good is the cost reduction. The fact that you can like steal back the play from someone by being able to cast this. It's their turn 3. You're casting this on your turn 2. It's very good. I think this card is going to be a player.
So Lorehold, I said, was asking you to do a lot of different things. It wants you to get cards in the graveyard. Seems like primarily be looting or trading stuff off in combat. Then exile those cards, and then have, while you're exiling those cards, have cards on the battlefield that benefit from those cards being exiled. There are a lot of moving pieces to the puzzle, but I do think if you put those moving pieces together, you get pretty handsomely rewarded.
It's interesting that you see that there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and yet your top white uncommon was a hoop jumping machine.
That was not a hoop jumping machine. At 5 mana, you're going to have something mana value 2 or 3 in your graveyard in a Lorehold deck.
But is that good? Is that good enough?
If it draws you a card?
Yeah.
I put good cards in my decks. I want to get them out of the graveyard.
I don't know
about you.
Your cube decks.
My cube decks say otherwise.
Sorry, you set me up. For me, Lorehold looks primary red, secondary white. Did you have a feeling there?
Yes. Primary red, secondary.
And I think, as I said, Flashback, I think, is a really nice glue for the Opus Leave the Graveyard Matters stuff. And I think as a result, whereas white doesn't feel, because of white's split nature, where it is leading you down different paths, I think red feels like it has a lot of overlap and a lot of inherent synergy. And as a result, much like black, I think, feels like a color I'm happy to get deep into. And then I could pivot to Prismari, to Lorehold, depending, and not lose too much in terms of like, oh, I have all these secret gold cards.
Yeah, I like that take.
Okay, top red uncommons in the number one spot. I have Impractical Joke, single red for a sorcery. Damage can't be prevented this turn. Impractical Joke deals 3 damage to up to 1 target creature or planeswalker. Just, again, I mean, I don't care that this is a sorcery. I care that this lets me kill a prepared creature and before it gets its spell and double spell myself.
Yeah. Card's great. That's my number one also.
Number two. Uh-oh, Lorehold. Garrison Excavators here. 3 and a red for a 3/4 with menace. And whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, you make a 2/2 red and white spirit creature token.
Yeah. If that card stays on the battlefield, it's going to be an absolute house.
And like I said, I don't want to have too much of a hangover from Strixhaven, original Strixhaven, because that the Leave the Graveyard stuff in that set was very clunky.
Yes.
I think Flashback solves a lot of that problem. Like, you fire off the 2-mana deal 2 with Flashback 5. If you got that sitting in your graveyard, you have Garrison Excavator on turn 4, and you're like, do I get to untap and shock something and make it 2/2? Plus threaten to do this more? Like, I do think Flashback solves a lot of the clunkiness. And the number 3 spot, I have Charging Strife Knight. 2 and a red for a 3/3 with haste, and you can tap it to discard a card and draw a card.
Yes, that is also my number 3.
Yeah. All right, so you have a different number 2.
Different number 2. I have Pigment Wrangler as my number 2. This is the 4 and a red, 4/4 flying orc sorcerer that enters prepared. And then it's got a prepared ability of Striking Palette, which is single red for a sorcery. When you next cast an instant sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy.
It's scary.
Card's a house wrapped up in itself, much like your number 2. If you untap with Pigment Wrangler, bad things are going to happen to the opponent.
Yeah, you're just sort of in the like peeking through your fingers mode if your opponent untaps with that kind of card.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. What red commons do I have? It looks like maybe only one, the aforementioned Tome Blast. It's one in red for a sorcery. Deal 2 damage to any target with flashback, 4 in a red.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I've got, putting my money where my mouth is, you hate this card, I love this card. I've got Bombard Plus. We've got Unsubtle Mockery. This is 2 in a red for an instant. Unsubtle Mockery deals 4 damage to target creature. Plus, now we get Surveil 1.
I do think Surveil 1 is big game on this card.
Yeah.
So Bombard Plus Plus still didn't make my
still
list.
Still didn't make your list.
Still
make
my list. We'll see. We'll see if that's enough to make me feel good about it. I think that it probably will, but in the context of I want cheap removal to kill prepared creatures before they get their spells, I think. That's my take. Okay, that takes us on to Prismari and Blue.
Prismari and Blue, and I think Prismari is primarily blue, secondarily red.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my thoughts leading into all the Prismari cards were that it's going to take it a second to get traction, but once it does get that traction and starts casting the mana value 5 plus spells, there's going to be some big fireworks happening.
Yes. I think I said Prismari was primary blue, secondary red as well. I think blue gets some of the more impactful prepared creatures. You know, jury's still out on the 2-mana 2-1 with the 5-mana prepared spell draw 2, but I have eyes for that card. It has a really nice curve out of like there's a 4-drop that curves into a 5-mana spell that makes a creature token. I think blue's prepared creatures are really good. Plus, it has the Holy Trinity, but not even the Holy Trinity. It's got a Holy Quaternity of instant speed plays. It has a 2-mana counterspell, a 3-mana draw spell, a 4-mana or 3-mana top or bottom spell, and a 5-mana make a 3-3 Surveil 2 spell, all at instant speed, which I think is going to make blue a really annoying color to face.
It looked a little underpowered to me.
Essence Scatter has got all that power on its shoulders, I think. I think Essence Scatter is going to be a real player.
And you think it's going to be good?
I think Essence Scatter is going to be excellent. It's like one of the, you cleanly take care, get a prepared creature before it hits the battlefield. Plus, there's just tons of ETBs that you get to take care of before they hit. I think Essence Scatter, especially because I think off the back of prepared creatures, creature counts are going to be high. So Essence Scatter is going to target 15 cards in your deck.
Yeah, I think I like blue a lot more if Essence Scatter is going to be good. I don't think I was on that wavelength prior to that little chat.
Yeah, I think it is my only top blue or notable blue common on my list.
Oh,
so that's what we're saying. It's a very evergreen card, but one in a blue for an instant counter target creature spell.
I have a different blue common in my list of notable commons, which is Run Behind.
Mm-hmm.
3 in a blue instant, cost 1 less to cast for targets an attacking creature. That creature's owner puts it on their choice at the top or bottom of their library.
Yeah, I like that card. I mean, I like that card in the context of here's 4 instants that blue has at common that play nicely together because they're all instants. But I think I'm starting to calibrate slightly that there's a big difference between these spells when it puts it back on top or second from the top.
Mm-hmm.
So I am giving this a slight knock for being back on top.
Well, also could potentially reset your opponent's prepared creatures or something you don't want to target that they've already gotten value out of.
Yeah,
I see it.
But I think it's worth noting that blue gets to do that here. What about blue's uncommons?
Blue's uncommons has 3 very strong uncommons, and then that kind of falls off a cliff. But number 1 slot for me, Matterbending Mage. This is 2 and a blue for a 2/2 uncommon. When it enters, return up to 1 other target creature to its owner's hand. We got a Mana War variant. And whenever you cast a spell with X in its mana cost, this creature can't be blocked this turn. So a little bit of upside there as well. In the number 2 slot, we've got Campus Composer. This is 3 and a blue for a 3/4 with Ward 2 that enters prepared, and its prepared ability is Aqueous Aria. 4 and a blue for a sorcery, create a 3/3 blue and red elemental creature token with flying. I love that that card comes down,
yep,
is hard to deal with, and then curves into itself.
Yeah.
That's a very clean prepared design there. And then in the number 3 slot, Orisa Tide Choreographer. This is 4 and a blue for a 2/2 uncommon. Costs 3 less to cast if you have creatures that have total toughness 10 or greater. Not sure how often that's going to happen, but when it does, it's going to be great. And when Orisa enters, you draw 2 cards.
Muldrifter.
Muldrifter's back.
We're all lined up. I have the same 3 cards in the same order. And that brings us to last and in our minds least, Quandrix. Mm-hmm. But green, not least, just Quandrix, to be clear. I do think Quandrix is primary green, secondary blue. And I said, what green lacks in its suite of commons, it more than makes up for in its uncommons. Increment as a mechanic and Quandrix as a college are the two I am least excited about. But I definitely think that a deck where green is open and you just have a deck of green cards is going to be great.
Green gets a lot of great, great uncommons.
Yeah. And so if green is open in the play booster era, you're going to see a lot of those and your deck's going to be great. But it's interesting that like that's the first college really, I think, where if Quandrix cards and green cards are in the pack, I'm taking the green card every time. Whereas like once I find myself in Silver Quill, I anticipate I'd rather take Silver Quill cards than white cards.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be largely the case for Quandrix.
I see that. Quandrix, for me, the concern I have about it is that I think it's asking you to curve out and single spell for most of the game.
Yeah. And do you think there's just enough tools in the format to tempo out that kind of a strategy?
Yeah, I think it's easily disruptible with interaction. Like, it's gonna need to be curving out, but if you pick off the threats, then all of a sudden the things you're curving into get less good. Quandrix, to me, looks like it needs the game to go perfectly for it to be doing something powerful.
Yeah, I mean, increment, I think, again, I could be too pessimistic about, you know, you gotta, like, something like Cuboid Colony, which I do think is powerful. Its power drops off a cliff significantly past turn two. Like, you play it on Cuboid Colony on turn two.
It's very good.
It's excellent.
Excellent.
Cuboid Colony as a top deck is pretty atrocious.
Yeah, now, compared to something like the white Elite Interceptor, right? Like, Elite Interceptor is great early, and it's great as a top deck. And as a single white common, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. So, remains to be seen. But yeah, green just has a lot of power. I don't know what our overlap is, but my number one green uncommon is a card that made me gasp yesterday when I was looking through cards and grading. Environmental Scientist. One and a green for a 2/2. When this enters, you may search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, and put it into your hand, then shuffle.
Power creep.
This is just, yeah, this is awesome. This is an awesome card. I don't have much more to say about it. Like, getting to keep a hand that is 5 spells, 2 lands, and this is one of the spells. My
what
God.
A dream.
What a dream.
I could not hit my third land drop to save my life last night. We were doing mystery boosters, my kingdom for an environmental scientist in my green-white deck.
Sorry, friend. In the number two spot, I have Thornfist Striker. This is 2 and a green for a 3/3 with Ward 1. And it has Infusion. Creatures you control get +1/+0 and have Trample as long as you gained life this turn.
And that's going to stack multiple triggers with Pest? No.
No, because it's just that. It's like, it's just if you've hit Infusion this turn... Yeah. Things get +1/+0, but they would stack.
Yes.
If you have two of them.
Yeah.
And then in the number three slot, I have Pest Brood Sloth, just a stats house, 3 and a green for a 4/4 with reach. And when it dies, you make 2/1/1 black and green pest creature tokens. And the pests, we should say, in this set are when they attack, you gain a life.
Yeah. I've got number one the same. Sloth is my number two. I've got a different number three, which is, I'm putting my money where my mouth is with my format take. Snarl Song. This is the Converge payoff. This is 5 and a green for a sorcery at uncommon. It's got Converge. Create 2/0/0 green and blue fractal creature tokens. Put +1/+1 counters on each of them, and you gain X life, where X is the number of colors of mana spent to cast this spell.
This card is amazing.
You're happy at three.
So that's 6 mana, 2/3/3s, gain 3 life.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're happy at 3, and at 4 or 5, it's absolutely absurd.
Yes, I agree. I almost wanted my... I put this under my like list of sideways build-arounds because I think Converge otherwise is pretty bad. The cards with Converge, like Red has some atrocious like 5 mana, deal damage equal to your Converge. And then if there's excess damage, draw some cards. Like, how's there going to be excess damage when I'm playing 5 mana, deal 3 or whatever? So not into those cards, but that uncommon is a house.
That's powerful enough to be defining a deck, though. Like, if you get a couple copies of Snarl Song or whatever,
yeah, that's a real incentive to go for the full 5, yes. Really. I went back and forth and back and forth, and I ultimately did include Studious First Year on my list of notable commons. This is the single green 1/1. It enters prepared, and its prepared spell is Rampant Growth. One under green sorcery, search your library for a basic land, put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. It's not quite the Inspector level of good late.
Correct.
But you still... Okay, I just think in the world of prepared, you're not running out of stuff to do with your mana, and so an additional mana down the road, and then if you are splashing, this will certainly be very important for any kind of base green splashing deck. If you, this is going to be best friends with that uncommon.
Yes.
So Studious First Year did make the cut, but I agree with you that green's commons, and this might just take might age like milk, but I don't think green's commons look great. I think the bite spell it has will certainly perform well, but those are often performing well off the back of how well green is, how good green is.
Right.
And it remains to be seen where green is in the pecking order for me.
I mean, uncommon wise, it's up there.
It's up there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So I have no green cards. I left that off my 10 notable commons list, but I do have quite a bit of gold cards on my 10 notable commons list.
Quite a bit. How many slots you got left? You said you had a clean 10.
I went to 11.
You have a dirty 11.
Okay. I have a dirty 11.
Okay.
A dirty 11.
All right, go for it.
Do you have no gold cards?
I have one.
Oh, you have one.
Okay. I have one. Because I had 9, and then I looked through.
You were disciplined.
I was disciplined, but I also, like, you know, usually it's easy to be like, I just go through and I look at what cards did I give B minus or above, and those are usually the notable ones. The only commons that I gave Bs to were the Golgari ones.
Oh. Okay.
And so I have Grapple with Death as my one. That's the one black-green sorcery. Destroy target artifact or creature, you gain a life.
Yeah, that's on my list as well. I've also got the Boggy Boy.
Yeah.
Bogwater Loomerate, black-green for a 2/2. Whenever this creature or another creature you control enters, you gain a life. That card just seems so critical for Witherbloom to me, and it seems like it's also going to be must kill on site. I've also got Wilt in the Heat. This is push. This is 2 red-white for an instant at common, costs 2 less to cast if one or more cards left your graveyard this turn, and it deals 5 damage to target creature. If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead. So you're happy casting it for 4 mana, and it's broken if you ever get to cast it for 2 mana?
Yeah.
And then lastly, I've got Visionary's Dance. This is 5 blue-red for a common sorcery. Create 2/3/3 blue and red elemental creature tokens with flying. That's pretty nice. And then you've got a buyout clause of 2, discard this card. Look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one in your hand and the other into your graveyard.
I wonder how much Lorehold is going to be splashing for this card. I had eyes for it as like, the 2-mana version of this card is pretty nice for Lorehold to be like, get a little card selection. Maybe you get to bin something. Lorehold is just interested in filling its graveyard full stop because of then it has ways to exile stuff from it or return stuff from it. So I'm wondering, like, I like that card, but I'm like, is that going to be more a Lorehold card than a Prismari card?
I just think there's going to be a lot of bleed between Lorehold and Prismari. I think there's going to be, to steal from LSV, some Loose Jeskai running around in this format.
Some Loose Jeskai for sure. What multicolor uncommons do you want to shout out before we get to some sleeper commons?
I picked one from each college to shout. And the first one is the card that we talked about for prepared, which is Abigail, Poet Laureate, the 1WB 2/3 flyer. Comes prepared whenever you cast a creature spell and you pay 1 and Orzhov for Heroic Stanza, which is sorcery that gives a +1/+1 counter to target creature. So I think that seems just key to help the Orzhov deck keep triggering.
Well, and
the repartee.
A lot of the repartee stuff is like, this gets +1/+1 until end of turn. The fact that Abigail not only permabuffs with the prepared spell, but has a pretty clean way to become re-prepared over and over again if it sticks on the battlefield is big game too.
Yes. So Abigail, for Prismari, I shouted Stress Dream, 3 blue-red for an instant, deals 5 damage up to 1 target creature. Look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one of those cards in your hand and the other on the bottom of your library. Cards clean, powerful, 2-for-1.
Yep.
I think going to be getting stolen a lot and splashed probably would be my guess as well. I wish it had another blue pip or another red pip.
I don't know. All you splash hungry fiends out there, just stick to your lane.
There's the common Surveil lands. Green's got great fixing.
But like you remember that, like, again, I don't want to over-index, but the Scry lands that we had in original Strixhaven did not matter.
But that format was also so much more weirdly one color because of lesson learned.
Yeah.
This is a very different
format. It's a very different format.
Than original Strixhaven, I think.
I agree. I don't know. All right. We'll see.
We'll see. For Lorehold, I've got Practiced Scrollsmith. This is red, Boros, and white for a 3-2 uncommon with first strike. When this creature enters, exile target non-creature non-land card from your graveyard. Until the end of your next turn, you may cast that card. This is going to be best friends with all the cheap red removal.
Yep.
Card is quite strong. And then in the number four slot, I've got, or not number four, these are not in particular ranking, but the next college up is Quandrix, which is Paradox Surveyor. I've got green, Quandrix, and a blue. For a 3-3 uncommon with reach, when it enters, look at the top five cards of your library. You can reveal a land card or a card with X and its mana cost from among them and put it in your hand. The rest go on the bottom of the library in any order.
How many X spells
There's a fair amount of X, but even this just getting you a land drop is going to be good as well.
It's whatever, the boar from Phyrexia.
I'd say like, 10% of the time you're getting an X spell or something?
Yeah, it doesn't matter that much. But I also feel, I'm just like, don't we usually get, this is sometimes like a green common that's like a 3-mana, 3-3 impulse for a land.
Nah, that's usually 4 if you're...
Courageous Vorak, anyone? That's the one from one.
Yeah. Contagious. Anyway,
contagious, not courageous. Well, in my mind, he was both contagious and courageous.
And Witherbloom, Teacher's Pest is the card I selected, which
is
black green for the one with menace. Whenever it attacks, you gain a life, and you pay black green to return it from your graveyard to the battlefield tap. This thing that's going to be such a key enabler for the Witherbloom deck.
The Wither was one of the shouts for why I think Witherbloom is. I like your take that it's the best. Is like. All of its gold cards. I'm just like,
bangers.
Yeah. With one question, I have an honorable mention, a card that has piqued my interest quite heavily, which is Mind Roots, but also 10 out of 10 name for this card. Mind Roots is one black green for a sorcery. Target player discards two cards. Put up to one land card discarded this way onto the battlefield tapped under your control.
It's very interesting. It looks powerful. You're pretty... unhappy if they pitch two spells. Like you want to
am I unhappy if they pitch two spells?
It doesn't affect the board. You're going to be able to get card advantage back from prepared. I don't know. It's a very interesting card.
It's a probably terrible top deck. Like on if this is a slower format, which it does look like it might be.
It's never going to be a 3-for-1.
What do you mean they're never discarding a land?
They're never discarding. Oh, then it is a 3. Okay, yeah. Then it's a 3-4. They discard one land.
They discard a land and a spell.
I agree. The card's very interesting.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's very good.
So anyway, I have no idea what about this card. Might be just garbage, but it looks powerful to me. I have 5 totally. I did the same thing. Like picked one from each college. I had totally different. Cards. Yeah.
Wow.
I put Scolding Administrator as the one. This is the Silver Quill one.
That would be my number 2 pick, yeah.
White black for a 2/2 with menace. It has repartee. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature, you put a +/+1 counter on this creature. And whenever this creature dies, if it had counters, you put those counters on up to one target creature. Seems like just so much everything you want from a 2-drop. It's got a little evasion with the menace. It grows as the game progresses. When it dies, it does something. Just love this. In Prismari, I have Vibrant Outburst, blue-red for an instant, deals 3 damage to any target, tap up to one target creature. It was between the spell you picked and this one, I went with the cheaper one. For Witherbloom, I have, my goodness, Lewin Exchange Student. It's 2 black-green for a 3-4. It enters prepared, and if you exile a creature card from your graveyard, Lewin becomes prepared, and you activate only as a sorcery, and its prepared spell is Pest Friend, which is Witherbloom hybrid sorcery to make a pest.
There's not much to dump stuff into your graveyard, and that has to live a turn to untap. I don't know.
I think this card's great.
It's very good. It's situationally very good. Yes.
Yeah. For Lorehold, I have Startled Relic Sloth, 2 red white for a 4/4 with trample and lifelink. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, exile up to one target card from a graveyard. And something to note about, so this is just a stats monster in terms of 4-mana, 4/4, trample, lifelink. I'm good.
Yes.
Sign me up. But then the fact that this triggers your leave the graveyard stuff for free every turn.
And also
exiles your opponent's flashback spells. Or their creatures if they're in black and they've got their gravedigger stuff. Black also has a 2 and a black, return 2 creatures from your graveyard. So there is recursion to your point of exiling, mattering over destroying. Relic Sloth just seems awesome to me.
Yes.
And I have Cuboid Colony as my one from Quandrix. That's the green blue flash flying trample 1/1 with increment. I do, even though I'm skeptical and even though I don't think this is a great top deck, this is gonna be a groan test, I think. End of turn on turn 2.
Yes.
Okay, sleeper commons?
Sleeper commons. Dig site inventory is up first for me. This is single white for sorcery. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. It gains vigilance until end of turn. Flashback for a single white. I think this is going to play great. And Silver Quill, this is one of the few white cards that do double duty.
Mm-hmm.
And the aggressive version of Lorehold, which I think is its default version, is also going to love this card.
Yeah, I agree. And I think to the point of like Silver Quill being heavier white, if you're in Lorehold, your white cards are going to, you're going to have some Repartee white cards, so you'll even care about it there, even if you don't care about the Leave the Graveyard stuff. I like that.
Next up, I've got Hydro Channeler. This is one and a blue for a Merfolk Wizard. Common, it's 1/3, taps to add a blue. Spend this mana only to cast an instant or sorcery spell, and it's got one tap to filter the mana through to let you splash those gold cards.
I like Hydro Channeler a lot. It almost made my notable commons list because of blue's suite of instants that it has, because of some expensive spells that you may want to splash. Like Hydro Channeler, I got eyes for.
I'm worried I'm too low on blue after talking to you today.
I'm surprised. I mean, I'm just taking what you taught me about blue. Yeah. What does blue get to do? How good are all those cards? Is the sum of their parts and their existences? And I think blue gets to check those boxes.
Next up, Spellbook Seeker. This is 3 and a blue for a 3/3 flyer. Enters prepared and has careful study attached to it, which is blue sorcery, draw 2 cards, discard 2 cards, which is not a good Magic the Gathering card.
But
when it comes attached to a 3/3 flyer, I think it's pretty great. Like late in the game, you're going to play this some amount of the time, pitch 2 lands, draw 2 spells, which is broken.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me to evaluate because neither half of this card
is good.
Is a Magic the Gathering card.
But I think together it is a complete Magic the Gathering card.
And it was interesting as I was grading, like looking through, you know, quick study is the draw spell. It's 2 and a blue, instant, draw 2 cards. And I was like, raw card draw, this is washed, whatever. But I do think quick study gets better in conjunction with all of blue's instants. But then like the next card I read was this, and I was like, that's where I want my draw 2 to come from. It's just air quotes for free.
Yeah. Next up, Cheerful Osteomancer. That's the black grave digger that you like quite a bit. 3 and a black for the 4/2, enters prepared, and then you can raise dead for a black to return a creature from your graveyard to your hand. I also like seeing all these iconic spells on creatures. It's prepared is so good.
I like seeing iconic spells, and it makes me feel like I want to double down with, I wish they were all reprints. I wish there were no new spells.
That's fair, except that would be so hard to do. I think that would be so limiting for the design space because a lot of the new spells that are printed on them are great for what's happening synergistically in the format.
It what it wouldn't let them do is put cards that like aren't cards as the prepared spells.
Yeah.
Like the one attached to Abigail, for instance.
Or the one attached to my next sleeper card, which is Goblin Glassrite, 1 and a red for a 2/2, enters prepared, and you can craft with pride for a red sorcery, create a treasure token.
Yeah. Some sneaky fixing in this card's existence.
Sneaky fixing, sneaky artifacts running around for that uncommon. I think this card just does enough. To back up a little bit about the prepared spells being iconic, like how often do you and I say raise dead or something? And like now people who are newer to the game get to see those iconic cards printed on cards. It's just very good. Tome Blast is up next for me. This was in your notable commons.
Yeah. So
1 and a red, sorcery, deal 2 to any target, flashback for 4 and a red. I've got your boy, Rubble Rouser here. The 2 and a red 1/4, this card just does so much. It's impossible for it to not be a player. In some, if not a premium deck, it will be a big player in a tier 1.5 deck or something like that.
Yeah, this is the 1 and a red 1/4 rummages on ETB and then is a, you can exile a thing to make red and deal a damage.
Yeah, but I think it's just good enough on its own. Like the fact that you're going to be able to exile stuff from your graveyard for free. I think that's pretty huge for Lorehold.
For free, and ramp, and it ramps you, and it's got a butt to block. Like I like it. I like the ETB rummage. I think it's all good.
Also got Zealous Lorecaster. You referenced this earlier. This is 5 and a red for a 4/4 at common. When this creature enters, return target instant or sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. This is the biggest Archaeomancer we've seen. Archaeomancer, I think, is the archetypal card for this, which is a 1/2 to rebuy an instant or sorcery. It's a blue card.
Yes. And the tools are here, not only to just cast spells, and I like that this is a more expensive spell because it means that air quotes curving into it, you're more likely to have just naturally got a spell in your graveyard. But then by proxy, it's a 4/4, which is nothing to sneeze at. Like Archaeomancer is a 4-mana 1/2. You can just ignore the body. You cannot ignore the 4/4.
Well, and can you imagine Zealous Lorecaster? I mean, I'm sure you can because you talked about your Rakdos deck.
Yeah, yeah.
getting back an instant or sorcery, trading off your lore caster, raise dead in your lore caster, playing it, getting back an instant or sorcery.
This like, Rakdos deck is going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
Oodles of value.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of the Rakdos deck from original Dominaria with the like G2, whatever, the like 2-mana 1/3 with kicker, 4-mana that got back a spell, and black had the Soul Salvage, the like get back 2 creatures spell, and you would just loop those and
turn those wheels
removal. And I see that here too.
Yeah. Next up, I've got Follow the Lumerettes, which is 1 green for a sorcery at common. Infusion, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You can reveal a creature or land card from among them and put it into your hand. If you gained a life this turn, you can instead reveal 2 creature or land cards from among them and put them into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. I think it's, if you're doing the thing with Infusion, I think it's pretty good.
I really wish that this put the cards in your graveyard.
I also really wish that it put the cards in your graveyard. It does not.
It does not. That makes me like it a lot less.
It's on the sleepers. It could get there, could not. Yeah. And then I've got Render Speechless, which is a card we haven't talked about that looks very powerful to me. This is 2 white-black for a sorcery at common. Target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a non-land card from it. That player discards that card. So you get a Thoughtseize, and then also put 2+1/+1 counters on up to 1 target creature.
I don't like this card.
At all.
At all. I gave this a 0 in my grades.
I could see this being really annoying.
How do you have room for this card? How do you have room for a card like this?
It's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough. I can see it being a really good 20 through 23rd card, though. If you're curve out, 2-drop, 3-drop,
yeah.
Take their removal spell, put 2+1/+1 counters on a creature, you're ahead.
There was a spell like this at uncommon in
Humiliate, right?
Yeah, white, black to snag something from their hand, yeah. And you got
a +1/+1 counter, I think.
Yeah, that was really good, but yeah. That was 2 mana.
It's 2 mana.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm too low on this card.
My curiosity just piqued about that one. And then lastly, as if Witherbloom needs any more help, I've got Pest Mascot here. 1 black-green for the 2/3 with trample. Whenever you gain life, put ++1 counter on this creature.
And it stacks, right? So you attack with 2 pests. This is a 4/5.
Yeah.
Yeah, this card is. And also the fact that you can, like, let's say you curve in your send in the pest, the discard a card and make a 1/1 pest on 2. Then you play that on 3. Chump attack with your pest. Maybe they have just a 2/1, and so your chump attack isn't a chump attack. And now you've just played a 3/4 trample for 3 that's going to threaten to grow more. Yeah, that's all 3 of Witherbloom's commons I like a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, talked about a lot of my sleeper commons. Hydro Channeler was on my list. I wanted to shout out the blue instant package that's there. I have Melancholic Poet on my list. This is 1 black for a 2/2. With Repartee, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature, each opponent loses a life and you gain a life.
You're all about the drain life.
It's like, usually I wouldn't be, I guess, but the fact that there's the black uncommon. Red has like the red Rabble Rouser Mana Dork deals a damage, but also it's got an uncommon that's got an Opus deal 1 or deal 3 trigger. Like, the fact that it's redundant, the fact that it's a common does make me like that effect more. And Melancholic Poet doing double duty of, hey, it's a repartee, but it's doing the gain life thing. So Witherbloom also likes it. Rakdos also likes it. What else do I have? Oh, and a couple of gold cards. Elemental Mascot. That's the 1 blue-red 1/4 Flying Vigilance. Opus gets +1/+0 when you cast an instant or sorcery. If it costs 5 or more, then you exile the top card of your library. You can play it before the end of your next turn. That card's awesome. I just think 1/4 Flying Vigilance is
a good step.
Really annoying.
Yes.
And I put Bogwater Lumeret on my sleeper commons list. That does feel like very key for black green. That's the black green 2/2. Whenever it or another creature enters, you gain a life. Like, man, that into the 2/3. Like,
yeah. And then all of a sudden it's a 3/4.
Yeah. So, but I do wonder if it's like glass cannony that, like, how good will Witherbloom decks be? Are they going to be as good as how many Bogwater Lumerettes they have?
Yeah.
If so, that might make it feel a bit like you're at the discrepancy of the packs for how good your deck is. I don't think so. But I do think the fact that Bogwater Lumerette is such a strong engine piece that it gets at common as a 2-drop. Is going to be great.
My one worry with Witherbloom, if there is a worry, is that similar to Quandrix, I do think Witherbloom looks like it can be picked apart by removal.
Because it is kind of A+B synergy. It is, yeah. Like, I want to do this thing, and here's how I do the thing, and if you stop me from doing it, my deck kind of folds. It just seems so redundant. And it's not like the black-green cards feel like cards that, like, I mean, even the stupid 4/4 that we shouted out, the like vigilant 4/4 that has the life gain. If you gained life, it gets two counters instead.
Yeah.
It's another example of a card that, like, that's a 4-mana 4/4.
Yeah.
It could have been a 4-mana 3/3.
Yeah.
That then became a 5/5. Yeah. But it's like, nah, it's just good. And then if you do the thing, it's great.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I like your shout of Witherbloom. I really hope. My hope is that Lorehold gets to do some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's
not just curve out beatdown stuff.
That I think remains to be seen. Yeah. Yeah. But I think any of the colleges that are uncontested are going to be good.
Yeah, it doesn't look like, even with my hesitancies about Quandrix, if Quandrix is where I'm supposed to be, I assume that means I get some green uncommons and I'm going to be happy with that.
Yes.
Okay, so we have early access on Wednesday.
Early access on Wednesday.
We have pre-release next weekend.
Pre-release, yes.
And then the set is live in a week.
For the masses.
For the masses. Any parting thoughts?
I think if I had to set up what I expect the format to be like right now, I'm viewing it as Jeskai as a space versus Abzan as a space to play in.
Okay.
Like as two distinct poles that are going to be fighting against each other.
And that's where you see the overlap.
You're like,
okay, I see the Silverquill Witherbloom overlap. I see the Prismari Lorehold overlap.
Not Silverquill Witherbloom overlap necessarily. Like Witherbloom, Silverquill as two separate entities.
Okay.
And then a lot of bleed in the Jeskai space.
Okay. The loose Jeskai.
The loose Jeskai.
Left
it all on the field. I am excited about this format. It looks very powerful. Looks like there's going to be a lot of things too.
I never thought I would care, but I do like being in universe.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. Even though this is, you know, weird, like it feels pseudo IP a little bit. And we're returning to a thing. So it's like, magic referencing itself. I'm here for it. It does feel different to me than New York City.
Slicing some pizzas.
So,
all right. Great place to wrap us up. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all of our content at lordsoflimited.com. We've got links to our episode backlog, our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, our Patreon page, if you want to check that out, is all available on our website.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.